I see gold. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 480, to be broadcast Wednesday, April 28th on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's got other things going on here today, so not here to help out, but that's okay. You can just leave comments below and I will try to get back to you. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Oh, God, how many weeks are we into this thing now? Paying attention yet? Yeah, $4.11 a gallon nationally and $5.45 for diesel. Yeah, that's gas prices, by the way, folks. How about that bicycle? How's that bicycle starting to look right now? Did you get out on it this week? Did you take the pedal and ride challenge? And did you actually ride your bike instead of driving your car just one day out of the week? I know you were surprised if you did. But anyway, there it is. Also, to rant a little bit longer, a little bit more, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper into the show, but how capping vehicle sizes could help save the world. Yeah, you know me, I'm a big disbeliever in the gigantic vehicles that are polluting our roads right now. And they may not be polluting our roads because environmentally they're doing better as far as their emission go, but as far as their size, ugh, it's just awful. So anyway, we will talk a little bit more about that in the show, and also why a multi-pronged transportation reform strategy is critical to curbing climate change / road deaths and more. Okay, ranting, always ranting about the whole car, truck, bicycle situation. Anyway, positive side. Hey, I got a note from someone from WAME, which is the Willimantic Area Interfaith Ministries, and they have a program where you can donate your old bicycle to them, and they will have a qualified mechanic look it over real carefully, make sure everything's working well, get it in tip-top condition, and then get it ready for someone who really needs that transportation. So should you be listening to this, should you be local to this particular radio station here in Storrs, Connecticut, and you have a bicycle that you think could be of use to someone, the folks down at WAME, Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministries, would really appreciate a donation to them of that old bicycle so that they can help someone else who's in need with transportation. So there's a shout out for WAME. That's a very positive thing. And along with our gas price dilemma, which is going on right now by some people, some people are just owning it and paying for it. I'm not one of those because I don't drive a car that uses gas, but that's another story. But let me talk about to you today a little bit more about saving money by commuting by bike. So that's something else we'll have in the show. So reducing your commute cost by 50% or more is achievable by replacing car trips by a bicycle, saving thousands annually on gas, maintenance, insurance, and parking. Key strategies include replacing short car trips with biking, utilizing pay-per-mile insurance, and exploring employer-to-bike-to-work tax benefits. Yeah, some employers can help you here with this because they have tax benefits to go along with it. A 10-mile daily commute can save you nearly $980 a year in fuel. Now, I'm going to tell you that I did pull this off of an old site, and I believe that number is well over $1,000 at this point. But anyway, it is what it is. Just think about it. And this pay-per-mile insurance is certainly something that is very, very intriguing to me, that there's actually another way that you can insure a car. So if you're not using your car as much, you're going to be paying less money. I'll try to research that a little bit in the future because I'm curious about that. Let's see. What else is positive? Here's a positive for you. And it came from the Urban Cycling Institute. And I'm going to try to post it over to the Bicycle Talk Facebook page. I know it's on my regular Facebook page. But there is the coolest video that is out there of these bicycle buses. And there's usually, or there is, an adult involved on the bus pedaling away. And then all the kids are sitting behind, and they're all pedaling, and they're pedaling themselves to school. How cool is that? Well, only the people over in the in Denmark and the Netherlands would ever believe in doing something like this because they've got their act together. But anyway, it's really, really cool. And again, if you want to look up any of the really cool stuff that's going on, if you go onto Facebook and you look up Urban Cycling Institute, like them, subscribe to them, check it out. They have all sorts of really cool stuff there. So I would encourage you to go that way. And so more positive here. Hey there, runners with sore knees, backs, and feet. The general rule of thumb is there's a 1-to-3 run to bike ratio, meaning that 1 mile of running at a moderate effort equals about 3 miles of cycling at the same effort level. In case you're thinking of making that transition and your legs, I was talking to a runner this weekend, can you tell? And they were talking about, well, you know, I'm going to have to start backing off on it because I really like to run, but, and I said, you know, ride your bike more, man. Look at this. It's a great, great thing. So anyway, there it is, 1-to-3. Well worth the change. Easier on the knees, easier on the hips, easier on everything, the lower back, all sorts of stuff. I did run for a period of time in my life, and I can tell you, I know all the aches and pains that go along with it. And let's see here. Here's a good one. There's just so many positive things to talk about here today. So a while back, I had talked about the fact that the Trump administration was attempting to demolish the D.C. bike lanes in Washington, D.C. Well, guess what? A judge just blocked it. That's positive. All right, and I hopefully will have a little bit more about that in the show, too. Here's the highlight of the day. And we actually watched the highlights, which went for almost an hour in this morning's spin class because we have a giant TV in that room. And I flipped on the short version of the Liège-Bastogne-Liège bike race yesterday. And yeah, Tadej Pogačar again. But, there was some competition. Really interesting race. A lot of fun to watch. There's a new player out there, a young French kid. He's 19 years old. His name is Cesas. Paul Cesas is his name. And he definitely hung in there for a long time. Sorry about the spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet. But definitely worth checking out. It was another one of the great classic races. One of the more difficult ones in the classic journey, and fun to watch. So if you got a chance, great, good for you. I took the chance yesterday because yesterday was my birthday. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch a bike race on my birthday. That's always fun. So anyway, let's see what else we got here. I don't really have a good mechanical minute bike tip thing this week. I'm sorry to say. I was kind of poking around to see if I could find any more information. You know, those crazy tubeless tires that I'm always complaining about and all that. We've beaten that dead horse. So I'm not gonna go there today. What I will tell you though is I broke down, and because I had some birthday funding that came in my direction due to my sister's generosity, I broke down this morning and I ordered myself up a mid-drive e-bike kit to put on one of my bicycles, to make that bike into a true commuter bike, maybe to take off a little bit of the edge of the 100 feet per mile that I have to deal with to get myself up to the community center in the early morning hours. So I'm going to give it a try. I'll give you my week-by-week evaluation of it, the difficulty of putting it onto the bike, whether it was hard, whether it was easy, if it was, you know, if there was any, you know, catches along the way. And that's what I'm going to do over possibly next week and the following week. I'll give you some details because I should, well, you know, it may be 2 weeks because by the time the kit gets here, it could take some time. So I don't think it's supposed to show up until the 1st of May or maybe the 5th of May. So maybe we won't get to it by next week, but I will give you details on what I'm learning as I'm going along, because it's an interesting journey and there's some really high quality conversion kits out there right now. I looked into the possibility of just a replacement wheel with the motor. And that's one option, one way you can go, which is kind of interesting, because then you can actually get a front wheel motor and you could interchange that between one bike and another bike and another bike very easily. But I opted for the bottom bracket. I opted to put it right down on the bottom center of the bike, like most of the good e-bikes that are out there are done. There's quite a few bikes you can buy from big brand names, and that's where they locate their motors. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. This is a whole new world for me, and one I have been resisting for a long time, but due to the fact that I've had so many, let's call it medical hiccups, I thought, you know what, maybe I should just have one of these things just for the times that I need it. And right now, I am currently recovering from last Monday. You may have noticed that I was not on the air last week, because I had a small hernia repaired. And so I couldn't get my show together. Sorry about that, folks. But I am, quote-unquote, recovering from that. We will see what that is involving. I know what I have been told as far as recovery time. I'm not real happy about what I've been told. But I have a trip to the doctor tomorrow. We're going to talk about that and see exactly if they have any different estimate for people who are far more active than most people out there. So hoping to get back on the bike very, very soon. I am back on the indoor cycle, so that at least I can keep some sort of cardiovascular maintenance going on here. But yeah, that's it. But lifting heavy weights and climbing up steep hills is probably not a good idea at this moment, which is why e-assist sounds like a good idea. So anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit more about what we covered here before. So if you're looking at saving money by riding a bike, let me see if I have that here. So, you know, driving a motorized vehicle really is a convenient way to get around. But it's not always the cheapest. It's not always the fastest. It's, you know, the costs are starting to build up, especially when you're in big cities like New York or Los Angeles, where they're starting to institute this pricing when you get into the inner cities, where they jack the rates up on you, so you've got to pay congestion pricing. Starting to make more and more sense to ride that bicycle, and maybe, you know, in combination with some of the public transportation, which is also available. You know, there's definitely ways around it to make it all work. So anyway, maybe it is time for you to think about what is your true cost of transportation? So let's compare a fee for an average for a car, public transport, an electric bike, so you can kind of see the big picture here. Your payments are either going to be a one-off fee or recurring fee, where, you know, this data goes all the way back to New York City and reference of 2021. So it's a little old, but it still has a general idea of what we're looking at. So if you're buying a new car, it could set you back at least, well, just really almost under $30,000 right now. It's really hard to find an expensive automobile any longer. And if you you might be able to get a secondhand car, that sort of thing. If you're buying currently, I believe the cost of new cars, average cost of new cars in the United States is closer to $50,000. So depending on what you're out there bargaining for, whether it be used or a small car, or which are getting harder and harder to find also, small cars with low prices, it's going to still cost you a fair amount of money, whereas you could spend, you know, far less money, a few thousand dollars or so, on an e-bike, which can also get you around town and do the things it needs to do. Now, you could also use a regular bicycle too, which is fine. If you have the fitness, if you have the time, if you have the convenience of being able to use your regular bike, great, go for it. It's wonderful. You know, I go to see my son out in Chicago, and the streets are flat, flat, flat. So, you know, there's no real need for anything other than a regular pedal-type bicycle. And as a matter of fact, I don't think if I were out there, and we may have to have this discussion eventually. I don't know if he'll let me house a bicycle in his garage, but I may have to have a single speed bike out there for just riding around the city, because it's just so easy to do and the infrastructure is great. And it's just, you know, big cities are making big changes. So it's really, really cool. So, you know, an e-bike could certainly be a situation which could help you out, or even a used bicycle you could pick up for not a lot of money. But if you take a look at, you know, the overview of it, public transportation, Greg has a really great situation. Chicago is under $100 a month for his public transportation pass, and he can go anywhere he wants to go with that. So that's pretty cool. And I know other cities are a little bit more expensive. Some might be a little bit cheaper, but that's a heck of a bargain for transporting yourself around and not having to own or maintain an automobile or insure an automobile, not to mention the fact that you'd be putting fuel into it and all that. So bottom line is, it's a whole lot less expensive to think about the bike instead. So let's debunk some myths about e-bikes. So first one is, cars always save you time. Yeah, not so much, because if you take a look, and it is true that the car can get there faster. Is it true that the car should be going that fast? Well, that's another thing. If you're in a heavily enforced area and they are actually requiring the cars to drive at a pedestrian and or cycling safe speed, and that would be around 25 miles an hour, which I see in a lot of cities now. They've reduced their city speed limits down right around 25 miles an hour, which is a good move, because if there is a collision between a soft, squishy object, obviously a cyclist or a pedestrian, it is not as life-threatening as it would be if they were going 40. So now let's go on to the e-bike, which, depending on restrictions in your area, and this is something else which is very, very Well, you need to check and see what your state laws are, but you can very easily get an e-bike which can maintain 25 miles an hour, and now you're going the same speed as the car or truck is. So, well, I guess you're not really saving any time, are you, by driving the car or the truck? Not to mention the fact that, you know, you've got more congestion issues, you've got more parking issues when you're driving a large vehicle. Parking the bicycle, you just park it right where you're going, and that's it. And you're not looking around for a parking space or having to go into a big garage where you have to pay fees for it or whatever. So, you know, That's a good thing. And if you're using an e-bike, you know, the second big argument is that cycling is tiring. Oh, God, I get tired when I ride my bike. Well, but if you have a motor assist, then it's not quite as tiring. So e-assist and pedal assist is a great way to do that. And you're still going to get a level of fitness out of that. And even if you you know, have to dress up a little bit more for work and you're a little concerned about going in all sweaty, you can just use the E option on the bike a little bit more. So that's kind of takes away the cycling is tiring part. Boy, and the daily exercise is so worth it. Cars cover more range. You know, I'll give you that. If you are, you know, 40 miles away from work and that is your commute and that's what you have to deal with, then truly the car is going to be a better option for you, maybe. Or maybe you just drive it 20 miles and then ride your bike the other 20 miles, or even 30 and 10. Whatever you decide to do, you can make your commute, you can adjust your commute to whatever level you want to adjust the commute on the bicycle. And also with the car. So there are selections that you can make that make sense. And if you take a look at a lot of situations, like I talked to somebody and they said, you know, my commute in really isn't bad at all, except for the last 10 miles, because the last 10 miles is lots of traffic. Everybody's trying to get into Hartford or wherever the city is that are going to New Haven or wherever they're going. And they get caught in traffic and now they're bumper to bumper and they're going 2 miles an hour at best. And so what about finding out where that cutoff point is, driving the car to that point, taking your bike off the back or out of the back of the car, and riding your bike in the rest of the way? Now you're actually going to be going in faster than you would have in the car, and you get the freedom of riding the bike and the refreshing feeling that you get in your body, with your body and your brain, and you're ready for work, and you're just going to be a lot happier. You're just going to be a whole lot happier, and you're not searching for that infamous parking space that you can never quite find that's close enough to your work so their walk is not so far. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits here. So, you know, e-bikes, I think, are probably the best way to go. There's different types of e-bikes. There's commuter-style bikes that are foldable, the small wheels, but they can also be folded up. You can put them onto a public transportation system like a train or a bus. So that's kind of a cool thing. They are a little hefty because you've got batteries involved and motors involved. But, you know, you will eventually get used to that. And the fact that you can make them so compact, and there's a lot of bikes coming out of the Asian manufacturing world that are focused on this type of bike especially. So it's pretty cool. And, you know, with more and more people using the bikes for commuting, they're making more and more refinements and making it easier for you. So that's kind of cool. And or you can get the full-blown, full-size bicycle. And, you know, I'm going to be converting over a hybrid bicycle, which has mounts for fenders and racks. And I'm gonna put fenders and racks on it. I'm going to make it into a very versatile machine that I can use and be feel protected if the roads are wet, or Also, you know, have a rack on the back which can carry all my gear if I need to carry my gear. So it's a lot easier carrying it on the rack on the bike than it is to carry it on your back, because your back gets all sweaty and things don't stay centered on your back. You know, it's more comfortable. Definitely a much more comfortable way to go. So that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at having a bike that has the ability to put this extra equipment on it, because it's going to make more sense in the long run, especially if you're looking at it as a commuter. So those are really cool things to look at and pay attention to. So yeah, you could save a lot of money by using a bicycle instead. And so on with the, how much is the true cost of an electric bike, true cost of investing in an e-bike? Well, gloves off, it's cars versus e-bikes. Here we go. Based on the average U.S. prices, back again at 2021, unless stated, purchasing a basic commuter e-bike runs somewhere between $1,000 and $4,000, while a custom high-end e-bike could be as much as $10,000 or $12,000, especially if you're getting into a cargo-oriented bike, which you could put the kids in, you put groceries in, and, you know, just have a real, we'll call it the pickup truck of e-bikes. So, you know, that can be a general cost, which is far less expensive than even if you were to look in comparison to secondhand car. The average on secondhand car, and this goes back to 2021, was around $27,000. So, and a new car right back then was around $47,000. I think those numbers have gone up because of the demand for motorized vehicles. You can buy 10 e-bikes for that. Or you can buy an e-bike and make sure that you have two or three battery backups for it. Maybe you keep one of those battery packs at work. Maybe you keep an extra battery pack at home. But you've always got the power when you need it. So you don't have to worry about, oh, I got home last night and I forgot to plug my bike in, and now I got to ride in and I've got no charge and it's going to be a heavy, hard ride. Well, just have an extra battery. It's, you know, it's an investment, but it's, you know, by the time you add up the number of tanks of gasoline you would have put in your car, it's not that expensive. So, you know, these are things you have to consider. And considering office workers commute around 32 miles a day, according to an ABC News study, that means you're going to be really paying a lot less money for riding on that e-bike than you would if you were driving a car. And here it says $3.20 a day if you drive, and $1.28 if you ride your bike using pedal assist. So that's a pretty significant difference right there. Maintenance, everybody's got maintenance. Cars have it, bikes have it. You're always going to be dealing with maintenance, and you may even have to replace the battery every 2 to 5 years on the average. Over a period of 5 years, the maintenance costs can cost up to $750 a year for e-bikes, but a car is an entirely different beast, and it's more like, it says here, approximately $1,200 a year, according to the American Automobile Association. But that goes all the way back to 2017. And I can tell you right now, that is a very, very, very low number when you consider it. And the other thing is that it's kind of interesting here too, is if you are riding it to the, if you're riding your e-bike to the workplace and your employer is okay with it, you can just plug in and recharge there. And if you plug in and recharge there, then your cost is consumed by part of the benefits that you have of working in that particular building for that very generous employer who's willing to let you plug in. They're already burning a lot of electricity. So it's, you know, it's really, really not an issue for them to add on a bicycle recharge station. That's not a big deal at all. And then we go into insurances and licensing and taxes and depreciation and car payments. It's, if you add it all up right now, this, once again, this information goes all the way back to 2021, and it's estimated right here at $5,600 a year. I believe it's closer to $6,000 right now. And once you buy that e-bike, you know, and maybe have to buy a battery every 3 or 4 years, you're making out on this deal. You really are making out on this deal. So, you know, it's a good thing. And let's this is beyond even looking or thinking or talking about the health benefits that you're going to get. You're going to be saving a lot of money. You're going to be, maybe you're going to be eating a little more food. So, but maybe you're going to start thinking about eating better food because you are the motor for your bike. So that's a good thing. So more than 50% of Americans now owe at least $1,000 in medical bills that could have been avoided, right? On the average, we pay $60 to $120 per session for therapy. You know what my therapy is? At a right around, I'm going to say, it's right around, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes before I get to the community center right now, the birds come out. And they come out with this chorus of just unbelievable sound. And now, if that's not therapy, nothing is. It's beautiful. It just sounds so great. You're being serenaded by the birds. The sun is just starting to come up. I mean, it's just, you can imagine how much pleasure that is as you're riding your bike. So much for therapy. Time is money, and e-bikes save both. So every minute counts. You know, we know you have to think about this a little bit more. You have to think about maybe leaving a little bit earlier in the morning because you're on a bicycle instead of in a car, and you're not going to be able to race in at 60 and 70 and 80 miles an hour. But, you know, you're going to have a much more leisurely ride in, a lot less stressful. It's amazing the difference when you get on the bike. It really is. And owning an e-bike could be the best investment you've ever made. When you think about the savings and you start adding it up over the years, taking that extra money that you're saving and putting it someplace where maybe it's making you a little money, or you know, helping out with some of your bills at home, whatever it may be, it's really a great, great way to go. So we're big fans of the e-bike here on Bicycle Talk. And I know I get a little bit of harassment from some of my friends because they're like, boy, you're really kind of starting to push that e-bike thing. Whatever happened to you, Ron? How come you're doing that? No. It's, yeah, well, you know what? It's not, the world is changing, and I'm getting older, and I'm changing too, to a certain degree, and I'm not going to be the purist that I was years ago. I'm not as fast as I used to be. I don't plan on ever being as fast as I used to be. It's just a matter of, it's time and age, it catches up with you, you do slow down. And you look for alternatives to help you continue to do what you really love to do, and that is ride your bike. So I'm not against it. I own most of the bicycles I own. Well, they're all non-motorized, so it's not like I have anything motorized at this time. And I still do believe in having a bike that I can really pedal and go and work on and do what I need to do. But it's, you know, it's kind of nice to, this idea I think is gonna pan out. Now, I will get back to all you guys about this and let you know. If you're gonna, there, another thing that you can consider in this particular situation too, is if you're a commuter who goes into a big city and there's a train station that is relatively close to your house. Maybe it's 5 miles away, maybe it's 10 miles away. You can ride your bike to the train station, park your bike there, and then take the train in. And there you go, your commute is complete. And then when you come back, your bike will be sitting there waiting for you because you purchased a really good lock for it. Yes, you did, right? Yeah. And your bike's waiting there for you, and then you can just ride your bike home. And you get that just a little bit of downtime before you get home and then go into, oh my God, we got kids screaming around the house. We've got to get dinner ready. We got to do yard work. We got to do whatever it is that you do. But you get to get that little bit of a break in between. So there it is. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. So I'm always going to be pushing on the whole idea of the e-bike, because I do believe it is a good idea. So so to quote the great philosopher Kermit the Frog, it's not easy being green. And this is Monday's headlines from Streets Blog USA, and introducing the new Green Deal. Yeah, the new Green Deal. And it took the progressive political world by storm 8 years ago, and then it was whittled down to some tax credits during the Biden administration, then written off entirely after the 2024 election. Now it's being repackaged as an affordability measure filled with populist policies like free transit. The 2.0 version was inspired by mayoral campaigns like Zoran Mandami in New York and Katie Wilson in Seattle. And despite concerns about the political viability of focusing on climate change, a recent Gallup poll found that 44% of voters worry about it a great deal, and only 23% don't worry about it at all. So there's good reason to be concerned. Methane emissions in cities are rising faster than expected, helped along by oil and gas production. Climate change is making air quality worse, particularly for neighborhoods where people of color live. And according to the American Lung Association, 40% of Phoenix is covered in asphalt, enough to pave over San Francisco 4 times. All that asphalt not only absorbs heat, but produces volatile organic compounds that cause lung cancer. And that's according to an Arizona State University research. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, good old Ned, has proposed fare-free transit for students and veterans. And he told the Connecticut Mirror he's open to extending that policy to everyone. Go, Ned. Now, how will that change things? If all of a sudden, yeah, you have this transit system and, you know, it's a little unpredictable, unreliable, whatever, in your neighborhood, but all of a sudden now it becomes free to use, well, you know what, I'll take a chance on free. Free is good for me. That sounds like a good idea. And then you get to understand how it really works. And then money starts pouring into the infrastructure to improve it because it's getting so much usage. All these programs are built around percentage of usage as far as funding goes. If all of a sudden the usage goes up, more funding is poured into the system. So if you look at it from that direction, that's a really good thing. Tucson is also going to continue their fare-free transit, and it's going to need a dedicated revenue source. So anyway, Seattle's not paying enough attention to its high injury network as it pursues Vision Zero. There's Seattle residents packed a Sound Transit meeting to defend light rail expansion projects in face of a multi-billion dollar capital budget deficit. Oh, come on, folks. It's the new green. This is it. We need to pay attention to this. There are solutions that are right there in front of us. Speaking of solutions, I would say I have to give a strong tip of the cycling cap to the judge that decided to block the Trump administration's plan to demolish the DC bike lane. So You know, you can't let your guard down because there's always going to be somebody out there that's going to hate cycling, and they're going to hate the fact that when they drive their car by the bike path, they don't see anybody on it because they're not sitting there all day long and seeing just how much usage there is. But, you know, you're always going to have those naysayers out there. But this is a big celebration because it was last Tuesday, a federal judge blocked the Trump administration plan to rip out a key bike lane. But advocates across the country are warning that sustainable infrastructure remains under threat in other places in the nation's capital and beyond. So that decision to save the 15th Street bike lane near the iconic Tidal Basin came in response to a March lawsuit from the Washington Area Bicyclists Association. The judge agreed with their argument that the National Park Service and the Federal Highway Administration had failed to articulate a rational connection between the targeted lane and anticipated traffic jams during the Spring Cherry Blossom Festival. In fact, in a recent study from the District of Columbia's Department of Transportation, they found that car traffic sped up after the lanes were installed and bike crashes fell 91%. So moving more cars, moving more people on bikes, and the bike lanes got safer and bicycle travel got safer. This is not rocket science, folks. This is common sense, and it's just a wonderful thing. So anyway, this was really good news. There's other things like this going on. There's some movements in Denver, Colorado that are going on, and other cities like Los Angeles also. So this is really really a good thing. So we're super happy when we see information like this because, you know, I get on the air here and I start talking about how, you know, things we got to start paying attention to all this and, you know, how in the world could they possibly run legislation about this and then it gets blown out in court because it's deemed illegal. Yay. Let's hear it for the courts. Big shout out to the courts and big shout out to my lawyer friends and judge friends who ride bicycles with me. Yep, they're out there. Okay, how about capping a vehicle size? Yeah. So this is another Streets blog article. I love it. The rise in popularity of massive SUVs and trucks made it impossible for the world to achieve transportation goals. And a new study argues this, until global nations take action to control vehicle bloat, I like that, we'll all struggle to curb fuel demand. I know what you need. We need an Ozempic for the cars and trucks to make them shrink a little bit. What do you think? There you go. That's an idea. Capping the maximum size of new passenger vehicles sold in the 2020 levels could save global consumers up to 22%, reduce liquid fuel consumption as much as 12%, reduce traffic deaths up to 9%, and simultaneously slash transportation sector emissions as much as 10%, is a new report from the Institute for Transportation and Development Policy. While it's not a silver bullet for the planet's transportation woes, the report's authors point out that keeping car sizes in check could also sharpen an even more powerful tool in the transportation reform arsenal, shifting commuters out of cars altogether. That would be an interesting concept, wouldn't it? So anyway, this is all good news. If you're not happy with the size of vehicles and you are forced into buying a vehicle and you don't voice your concern at the car dealer, no one will hear you. If you don't voice your concern at a town meeting, no one will hear you. If you go and rant online at some random site, maybe people will hear you, but we know that that gets all misconstrued also. So you really need to be there in person, make the noise, make the statement, say, you know what? This is the last new vehicle I am going to buy because they're just too big. And if you think that I'm going to come back here in 3 or 4 or 5 years and buy another vehicle from you and it's larger, you're sadly mistaken. I will come up with another alternative. And the alternatives are there. You're listening to Bicycle Talk, you know. So, you know, you can cut back on your usage of that vehicle. You can certainly make adjustments in your lifestyle, which will make you a much happier person in general. So there are a lot of things you can do to not be married to, attached to, glued at the hip to your gigantic vehicle. If you're a contractor and you need that large truck, I completely understand. Completely understand. But if you're just the only person, the sole person in that car, and that car now has enough capacity to hold 12 of you, maybe you need to change your thought pattern just a little bit. So capping vehicle sizes really could help save the world. And it's got to start, obviously, it's got to start from the top somewhere. And we got to, it comes from a lot of marketing and a lot of things that are just definitely wrong in the fuel, petroleum, and automobile manufacturing industries. So hopefully people will catch on and things will get better. I know as I deal with the traffic here at the University of Connecticut campus, we have a lot of scooters. I'm not a big fan of scooters because I find them to be somewhat treacherous, especially on pedestrians. But at the same time, you know, they're not driving cars. So that's a bonus, kind of, sort of. But anyway, that's what it is. Anyway, let's move on here because we got a few more things I'd like to cover here on the show today before we call it a day. And let's see, we did the capping vehicles here. We know about commuting on our bikes and the all the other fun stuff. And let's move on to the two different events here. One was the Liège Bastogne-Liège. And if you didn't see it, it was a great race. It was the 112th edition of the Liège Bastogne-Liège and making it the oldest classic on the calendar. It's affectionately known as La Doyenne, Old Lady of Cycling, is what that translates to, indicating it is the longest standing race in pro cycling. Liège Bastogne-Liège closes out the Ardennes Classics this week, a tough race over 250 kilometers, 10 classified climbs, and many, many others in rolling hills of southeastern Belgium. So, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. It was the who's who of cycling showed up to this race. There were many, many, many big names there. But, of course, number at his third time of giving a shot, Tadej Pogačar was back wearing the number one on his back since he had won it 2 years in a row before this. And you know, it was a fast, fast race. They were traveling at speeds faster than they've ever traveled on this race. They're averaging 45 kilometers per hour, I believe, is what the average speed was. It was insane, absolutely insane. There were some good contenders there, but the one that we're all taking a look at lately is this Cesas, Paul Cesas. And he's a French rider. He's 19 years old. Does this sound somewhat familiar? Remember there was a 20-year-old a few years ago that won his very first Tour de France at 20 years of age? Well, that's who he was riding against. He was riding against Tadej Pogačar, and he stuck with him for a long time. But I got to tell you, the body language that was going on his body as he was trying to stay with Pogačar at the end was, it was impressive to watch, and it must be nice to be young. That's all I can say, because I would never have been able to withstand what Pogačar was doing to him. But Pogačar, of course, made it look like it was another walk in the park. He's in phenomenal shape. He's got an ability to process oxygen that no other person on Earth seems to come close to. So he is certainly a strong contender. He eventually shook Cesas towards the end. It was just the two of them away. Remco Evenepoel was third and Egan Bernal was fifth. So there were some names in the chasing peloton, but it was a race to watch. It was a lot of fun. You can catch it on YouTube and you'll catch the highlights on YouTube. It's just a whole bunch of fun. What is Tadej Pogačar going to continue to do this year? Should he remain healthy and crash-free? Good question. I guess we'll all be watching because he certainly is attracting an awful lot of attention. So, anyway, let's see. What else do I have here on the list of things that need to be attended to? We were not quite there yet, so we're going to have to back off on this. Oh, the Sea Otter Classic. Remember I mentioned the Sea Otter Classic last week? Actually, it was 2 weeks ago because, of course, I wasn't around last week because I had surgery. But anyway, this is from Bicycle Retailer and Sea Otter Classic. If you're not familiar with it, if you weren't in the bicycle industry as I was, is probably the number one consumer show in the country as far as the industry kind of getting together and displaying the wares and things that they're looking at in the future and different things going on. And of course, it's a great event. There's mountain bike races, there's road bike races, there's mountain bike rides. It's a really, really cool event. I've only been once. I did have the opportunity to go there with one of my bike manufacturers that I was repping. So that was really cool. And I got to really get a piece of the action out there. I got to ride the big loop cross-country mountain course on a borrowed bicycle. And it's a different world out there. It's very dry. It's very fast. As far as the mountain biking goes, not like New England where you get slogged down in deep mud and roots and rocks and all that. But it is equally as slippery just because of the fact that the surface crumbles underneath you and it becomes like a sandy, slippery surface even though it's dry. It's different. Everything's different, but it's pretty. It's you're up in the mountains. It's very, very beautiful. So The article says, forget 32-inch tires and Chinese brands. The Sea Otter was about generational change. It's of course impossible to avoid that because all that stuff was being showed and you could see it. But there's going to be, I think the industry is going to change dramatically here real soon just because of the cost of transportation. And energy just keeps going up and up and up. No matter what we do, it just seems like it goes up. And we've got younger generations coming in and they're not putting up for it anymore. They're starting to complain about it. They're starting to make more demands on transportation. And they're also young enough to spend time on their bicycles and commute with their bicycles and say, you know what? I'm not going to buy that car anymore. I'm going to ride my bike instead. And they have the power. The power is in the hands of the youth of this country. And you can make a big change. We do not all need cars and trucks. We do not. There are things that can be done that can take care of that problem. And we can get better at this. Yeah, I know I'm ranting again and making a statement, but it just seems to make a lot more sense. It's healthier and, you know, people who ride bikes are healthier, happier, et cetera. You know, you hear it when I close out the show every week, I talk about this. But there are definitely some market shifts going on out there. There's different companies buying out other companies. And yeah, Shimano numbers are down. They're down for the quarter, down for the month. There's definitely a lack of enthusiasm in purchasing new product right now, but that's because we've got so many restrictions on certain items. And those were implemented by the current administration. Then they got shut down by our favorite people in the world to ride our bikes with, judges. And, you know, so now there's a lot of turmoil there. There's just a lot of things going on. There's product development in California, which is starting to utilize some new ideas of ways that we can transport ourselves. The e-bike business is, I see it right now, in its complete infancy. And we are soon to see a lot of things change because of e-bikes. I believe they are going to be the change that we really need to get not just people who ride bikes on bicycles, but everyone on bicycles. And so it's coming, folks, and that seems to be the climate and the change that was happening at the Sea Otter this year. So I miss going to those things because those are really fun because you kind of get your finger on the pulse when you go to those. Okay, let's move on here to events. You know, here we go. Ride the East in Connecticut. It's officially open for registration. Join the East Coast Greenway Alliance and the Trust for Public Land on Saturday, May 16th as they roll through Airline State Park Trail and soak in Connecticut's most generous landscapes. And you can register, obviously, online for that. And so you just look for Ride the East. It's a great ride. And I believe those rides still start and finish in Willimantic and right around the Saturday Farmers Market. So there's lots of things to do and there's food afterwards, which is good. By the way, the Willimantic Downtown Country Fair is this weekend also, which is another great event to ride your bike in on the rail trail. You don't even have to worry about parking. Just ride your bike there. You'll be all set. The 2026 Giro d'Italia is right around the corner, May 8th to May 31st. Woohoo! Coming soon. My favorite race of all the classics. That is my big one right there. That is a classic. That is a major stage race, not really a classic, but it's there. The Ride of Silence will be on the 20th of May, 7 p.m. worldwide, and also in the center of Storrs, Connecticut, right by the town hall and the community center. I'll have more information on that, and I'll get it posted on my site here real soon, too, because we need to start really pushing that again. And the Tour de France, of course, is July 4th to July 26th. So, finishing points, give us your opinion. You ready to park that car yet? Price of gas starting to bug you yet? Yeah, you know, the beauty of this time for the oil companies is there aren't gas lines. Back in the 70s, we had actual gas lines because we had all sorts of things going on with oil embargoes and all. I think it was more impactful. But anyway, remember, bicycling is freedom. Life is better for everyone when more people ride bikes. Cycling is an easier and safer option for more people because when more people bike, people are happier, they're healthier, our communities are safer and friendlier, and our planet is greener. So tell your neighbor how much fun you have riding your bike. Pass it on. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. We need to get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic and dangerous roads and the price of gas and the lack of places to safely ride. Do your part. Go to a town council meeting. Make a statement. And hey, take the Pedal and Run Challenge. Consider parking your car or truck for one day and ride your bike instead. You will surprise yourself. And remember, whether you're riding your bike or you're driving a car, please be safe and kind. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, but if you are watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment down below, or you can send me an email to bicycletalk@gmail.com. Bicycle Talk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. So, if this is Peddlin' Ron, remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!